strap in because it's Fraudcast time. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. I've got to push a lot of buttons right now, so it's been difficult. It's been a difficult time for me. This, of course, your ear, it's Ben. We got a little bit of a different show. Only two in Fraud Quarters guests. Myself, future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan, just crushed a burrito.
Crushed it.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
I crushed the cross camp when I was 14. MVP.
That's true. No one can take that trophy away from you.
Never.
And then super blogger
I'd like
Vince.
To see you try and get some titanium right across the teeth.
Yep.
Chief.
Super blogger Vince is in Austin.
Big up to the new Pope.
That's, you know what? I've been celebrating all day. I've just been raping kids and getting it covered up. It's been awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
And oh. And Brett is in New York City.
You getting the
All right. Well, Vince is live from South by Southwest, his first venture there. How's it going, Vince?
South by, bro. Just partying, just locking it down.
Just so South by?
Yeah, South by. That's what we say.
So, like, what do you do there besides be, like,
just
super cool?
So hard that you don't have time to say by Southwest. Seeing so many movies and just, you know, just being laid back. Because, you know, like, Austin is just, it's, like, laid back, you know? Like, it's, ever since I moved out here, you know, I just, it sort of changed my whole perspective, you know? I just don't worry as much. I just kind of chill. I go with the flow, you know?
What I've heard is it's, like, California, but it's in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, yeah, it's, like, California, but on Texas with brisket and there's bike lanes.
I heard it's one of the highest surfboard sales areas of the country. Just mm-hmm. just to keep up the attitude.
Right up there, yeah.
Yeah, top three or four.
It's just the state of mind.
It's a South by state of mind?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's turned into a big sort of corporate funded ness, right? Isn't there a lot more? It started off, my understanding, it started off as a awesome, huge musical week with big bands, unsigned bands, and now it's turned into something much different than that.
Are you just not going to intro me?
I thought I said Brett, live from New York. I
fucking hate you.
I said live from New York. Brett, what I'm excited for is to hang up on you. You may hate me, but I'm going to hang up on you.
There's an order to this. It goes Ben, and then Brendan, and then Vince, and then Brett. And that last part's important because that's the part that I'm in. That's my part. I like that part. Do you want to do that part now?
Hey, Brett, how's it going?
I hate it here.
In New York specifically?
No, on the Skype call.
Oh. Well, you know, you're welcome back to San Francisco anytime.
I'm not in New York. I'm back in San Francisco. I ran out of money.
That was fast.
I'm outside your place and I'm cold.
That was quick. What happened so quickly? Things changed.
Well, it's not as laid back as Austin is, apparently.
Yeah, it's very high strung.
Yeah, it's very high strung.
But it's perfect for you. You can get hipster hats and fit right in.
I do have a lot of those now.
Has your collection of hipster hats and scarves gone up exponentially?
I have to wear hats on my shoulders now just to keep them out of my 3-foot by 3-foot apartment. I've run out of space for all the hats. There's no space for the hats.
You can always make space, right?
You can't. There's only 3 feet by 3 feet. Square by 3 feet. It's a chest.
Have you tried storing them under the payphone?
Oh, but why wouldn't the bums just take them then?
Oh, well, that's you moved to the big city, baby.
It's the shit you got to deal with, man.
Surprise, you're doing business.
It's a bum steel hat world out there, man. You got to fit right in. You got to elbow your way. You got to kind of get the bum hat before it gets you, you know?
That's so true.
Not a day goes by that I don't live by that mantra.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, thanks for joining us. I know that this isn't the best probably audio for you, but thanks for tuning in. And
it's certainly pretty bad for me.
Well, no one, you know, that's not what's important, Vince. It's our listeners that are important.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you got to think about them. You don't even listen to these.
I do too. How dare you?
Everyone, you can now check out, just as a reminder, you can check out Frotcast.com. It's sort of half a site right now, but all the new episodes will be there. And if there's any other links or anything, I will do my best to put it on there. If you have any suggestions or anything, Frotcast@gmail.com. We, of course, welcome all your suggestions to make it, you know, a happy website on our little corner of the internet. Tonight, Vince will tell us a little bit about South By. Brett will tell us how many hats he has.
I will not.
Brendan's going to tell us about his burrito. And
it was really good. Thank you. Suck my dick.
And he's out.
Good night.
And that was it. Brendan, thanks for stopping by, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. And Vince is going to tell us about, Vince, are there movies out there now? You hung out?
Yeah, there's so many movies.
You hung out with the vagina dude?
I mean, I don't know. You were saying how corporate it got. I'm surprised they even let them show art here, you know, but they do.
Well, I didn't know. My understanding is it's gotten a lot of sponsors. There's a lot of tents and booths that are all about raising awareness of corporate messages.
Whoa, Ben, if there's one thing Austin doesn't do, it's tents.
What would it do? RVs?
All laid back all the time.
But a tent could be pretty laid back.
Damn, that was a pun.
Yeah, a tent. Oh. A tent's just the white man's teepee.
So Vince, highlights so far.
I didn't really have anything to add to that.
No, we could tell. Vince, highlights so far from South By.
I mean, I saw the old Spring Break, which was funny.
Isn't it called Spring Breakers?
Spring Breakers, yeah. But they say Spring Break like a million times. Like, the whole movie is just them, like, repeating the same lines over and over again. And boobs and sex and drugs.
Are you embargoed, or can you talk about it?
No, I can talk about it.
Did you enjoy it?
I liked it. I think it's funny. It's always fun to just sort of experience. Like, Harmony Korine kind of reminds me of Joe King in that he's just a little bit nutty. And it's always fun to just sort of get a glimpse inside the bizarre landscape of his mind and his weird obsessions.
To step into his world for 90 minutes.
Yeah, and so it's hilarious. I mean, the whole movie is like, you can tell that Harmony Korine has been obsessed, or he talked about it after the screening, where he's like been obsessed with like frat forums and like co-ed porn for years, and just made a whole movie that's just this one giant sort of frat porn
forum movie.
Yeah, and like Joe King, when he talks about that Tupac song Hit 'Em Up, where he talks about how like there's that one moment where Tupac just stops rapping and just starts telling everybody to go fuck themselves.
Right.
Like Spring Break's kind of like that, where just like at one point James Franco just basically just starts describing the set that he's in and how awesome it is, where he's just like, look at my shit, I got guns, I got drugs, and he just goes on for like 5 minutes describing the shit that's in the room. He's like, I got a bed frame that's like a work of art. But then it's funny because like they'll introduce Harmony Korine, and then people like the movie, which is understandable because it's kind of fun, but then they'll sort of treat him like he's like this narrative genius or something, where they're like, oh, the great Harmony Korine, like what an amazing work that was. And it's like, it's kind of just like a 2 hour like fart joke where like, Harmony Korine is like the kid who eats bugs, and I'll happily pay to watch him eat bugs. It's just hilarious when people like they think because they like watching him eat bugs that somehow he's a genius.
Not a lot of people eat bugs though, Vince, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm not nothing against the guy. I just think it's funny when, you know, they sort of have to put like all their own meaning to it to distract from the fact that it's just sort of fun to watch like this almost visual art piece about like boobs and James Franco wearing a grill.
Well, people want it to be more than that. They want, you know, it's just such a unique look on that world. And, you know, the way he did it, I mean, I haven't seen it. I'd like to, but they want it to be something more than just a fun movie.
Yeah, it's about the dark side of the American dream, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, kind of, but come on.
You can make it anything you want.
This is the most, I like that. That's the most broad statement of a metaphor, short of it's part of the Bible.
Yeah.
He's Jesus and the American dream gone awry.
yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a movie about decadence, but it's not really about anything. It's just sort of a bunch of people doing drugs. It's pretty funny.
What do you think a frat forum is like? That the emoticons that must go on there, horrifying.
I imagine there's one where it's just a dude flexing. Like there's some sort of emoticon for that.
I think there's just one emoticon. That's an entire set of dips. That's the quad. That's the quad emoticon. Check out those babies.
That's true. Yeah, you got the Hulk pose, and then the Popeye. I don't know how many other ones. There's got to be a lot, though.
Did you say Hulk pillows?
Yeah, Hulk pillows.
Is that a thing?
That's what I call my man boobs.
Gross.
Every night he does that. Now, Vince, have you tasted the barbecue meats of Austin?
I did. I went today. I didn't go to any of like the big places that everybody says to go. I just went to a place that's near where I'm staying, which is sort of off the beaten path. It was pretty good. I know someone emailed us a question about Central California tri-tip versus Texas smoked brisket.
Depends on how the tri-tip's done.
Yeah.
Brisket, I think, almost always a little too oversmoked.
Yeah, I think I like the general flavor of the tri-tip a little better, like the garlicky sort of charredness of it. Yeah. But brisket's got the fattiness, and you know, I'm all about the fattiness. I feel like your baseline tri-tip is probably a little better than your baseline brisket, but really good brisket I think is better than really good tri-tip.
I agree completely.
Yeah, I've been out to Austin several times and sampled their meats and food, and I've always been, you know, not everywhere's awesome, but in general, the barbecued and smoked meats are much tastier than in general what you can get in California, especially the Bay Area.
I had hardcore old school dry rub ribs in Memphis.
Mm. And
I feel like I'm. What is it? Is it the Kansas City that does the really light sauce? But
no, North Carolina is the vinegar based, and Kansas City is the ketchup based.
Yeah, Kansas City is the big sloppy.
Yeah, no. Then it's North Carolina. I'm into the North Carolina style, but would not disparage either the Kansas City or Memphis dry rub. I think they're good, but I like it sort of glazed, you know. And vinegar in anything meat based is always a good addition. Anything brined or, you know, otherwise saturated with salts.
Yeah, get that corned beef action going on in there.
When I was more strict in my vegetarianism, I would have weird, near sexual dreams about corned beef.
Just fucking that corned beef, fucking it.
Like the pieces are flying everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, they also have in addition.
Sure.
Sorry. In addition to the breakfast burrito, they have the breakfast taco is big here, which I don't know. It seems it's basically just like a breakfast burrito that you need a lot of napkins for. I don't know. I don't really understand quite the appeal of the breakfast taco.
No, it's a terrible invention.
I feel that way about many small tacos, except the street ones in Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, for example, Chipotle. I usually like I won't go tacos there because they just make a fucking mess of everything. No.
So I feel like the trend with tacos is getting to where there's more stuff, and the stuff keeps getting more, and the tortillas keep getting smaller.
Mm. Yeah, the new thing is the small mini tortillas.
Yeah,
and so just a handful of guacamole when you think about it.
Yeah. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, they want to do the tortillas like the Mexican street tacos do the tortillas, but then they want to like load it up with the stuff like you do here, and that's not a combination that works.
No, you put the meat in, maybe a little cheese, and then you give, you know, us the rest of the stuff to put in whatever we want.
Yeah, put some radishes in there.
Yeah, you do, and some guac.
Oh, yeah.
So, Vince, that's it. So you went and saw Spring Breakers, and you ate some food.
I saw Upstream Color also.
Okay, I assume that's a movie. I'm going to assume that's a movie.
That's by the Primer guy. You guys had all seen Primer. Ooh. I had not seen Primer.
Yes. Have you seen Primer Now?
I have not seen Primer Now, but I have seen Upstream Color. I didn't like you, the way you guys made it. You made it sound like Primer was like super plot driven, right?
It's sort of.
It's more driven by the idea of this time machine than a strict plot. That might not make sense, but it's more about the time machine. It's more about the issues of travel. He only travels short distances. Basically, he gets paused in time, or he moves forward. I don't remember exactly.
It's script driven. It might not be plot driven.
Right.
Like, say there's a time machine. They can travel back in time. There's consequences.
Yeah.
That's the whole plot.
You definitely have to keep tabs on what timelines are happening.
Yeah, you need a flow chart to really understand why anything's happening at that point.
Yeah.
That's funny. Because that's what I heard you guys talking about with Primer before. So I went in sort of expecting this to be specific, like plot-driven, written, you know. And it was just basically like one long what's it, where it's kind of like a thriller where you're like it seems like...
The fuck's a what's it? Is that like a whodunit?
It's just, I can't describe it. It's just like...
It's when you eat a whatchamacallit while watching a whodunit.
It's like a magic eye poem. You kind of see whatever you see in it, you know? It's like, it feels like he's building this plot, but at the end you really have no idea what the fuck just happened.
I don't think they make whatchamacallits anymore.
What?
I like those.
I don't think those are a thing that exist anymore.
What about what's-its?
I don't think that was ever a thing.
Who?
Who's-ums. Who's-ums and what's-its.
Yeah.
It's at a time.
All right, so Upstream Color, it's like it gets done and nobody has any idea what the fuck just happened. And then Shane Carruth is not there, but he's got the chick that stars in it. I don't know if they're friends or what, but she's like this total super hippie loopy actress who's, you know, she's just like holding onto her elbow and like playing with her hair the entire Q&A, and she seems like she's on mushrooms. Like nobody has any idea what the fuck she's talking about. And like the girl next to me was getting so mad that she's yelling at the girl on stage because like at one point, someone in the audience, finally, they ask like a substantive question. Usually in the Q&As, people just ask, like, you want to know about the movie? And then someone will raise their hand and they'll be like, how did you figure out where the sound design ended and the sound editing began? Like, what informed your approach? And then they'll just ask like a question that takes 10 minutes just to ask the question.
I do so enjoy when the question is actually a veiled, hey, did you know I know this much about
that? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then they're like, well, we did this. Yeah, because I noticed that.
Yeah.
That one time I saw that thing and the stuff you made.
I'm going to go ahead and talk for a while. There may or may not be a question inside of my talking, but you are definitely going to notice that I'm knowledgeable. And I, whether I know what I'm talking about or not, I'm going to seem like I do anyway.
Look, I'm not saying I'm going to ask anything, but I'm going to do my damnedest to raise the accent at the end of every sentence.
Yeah. And then my favorite is when the guy asking the question is actually so unself-aware that he takes 10 minutes to ask a question. The guy starts answering it. And then he starts trying to have like a back and forth with the guy stage. Like they're two buddies on the couch.
Oh, dude. Now they go way back. Now they're besties now.
When do you not learn how to do that? Because I feel like that's the one thing the American school system teaches people is how to raise your hand, ask a question, and then shut the fuck up.
Nah, I think when you get older, you get emboldened, and it changes because there's no consequence anymore.
There's no teacher with your name on the board.
Exactly. So there's no consequence. So you know you raised your hand. Now I have the microphone or the floor. I have the power. I am going to talk for as long as I damn well please. Question, maybe. I mean, Vince, you probably see it all the time at any of those panels or even if it's in San Francisco that you've gone to where they just ramble on and then all of a sudden they think they're fucking best friends with these people because they've watched all their movies.
There's a lot of broken people that are asking questions at Q&As, put it that way. So there's like this loopy actress and the first thing she says is she's like, you know, it just seems like the movie, it's just like, it's about, you know, like, why are there, like cars and streets and, you know, and why do people die?
Did that have anything to do with the movie?
I, I guess, like, she sort of brought it around later where I kind of understood what she's talking about, where she's like, you know, why are people, like, driving around and going to work without, you know, knowing the answers to the big questions? Which, all right, like, that kind of makes sense. But at some point, one person asked her, like asked all the actors how much they knew about the script going in and, like, what they thought about it. And that the dippy chick who's the star is just like, well, you know, it's Shane. And that's all she says. And the chick sitting next to me just yells out, we don't know Shane, so we don't know what that means.
Did you high five that chick?
Yeah.
Well, what's worse, the girl who is clearly just unprepared for the panel, or the girl who it just makes her so upset that this person is so unprepared for the panel?
Oh, no, I was kind of with the chick who was upset because, I don't know, I feel like when you're a really hippy-dippy actress and you're around only other actors, like, you can get away with that kind of bullshit where you never say anything concrete ever. And, like, I kind of think that those people do need a throttling from now and then, from time to time, to just be like, hey, use a word that actually has a concrete meaning and isn't just, like, your tone poem about your feelings that day.
Is that like a whale? Is the whale tone?
Yeah, that's basically what it was. Anyway, I think I liked the movie. I have no idea what the hell it was. And the whole time I was, like, almost angry at the movie because I had no idea what was going on.
You enjoy, more than most people I know, though, you do enjoy hate-watching things.
No, it wasn't a hate-watch at all. Mm. I think it was genuinely... Like, the more I thought about it, the more I think there was... I don't like it when someone is doing, like, a bullshit poetry where they're like throwing a bunch of ambiguity at you to make you think that they had something to say. I don't really think this was that. I think he did sort of have an idea, but it's just so it's very dense, and I don't know if I understood what the hell it was.
He's almost doing white papers instead of movies, which is sort of why I'm into it, where he's just like, here is a concept, and here's the best practice for handling that concept, at least with Primer as an example. Like, I've never seen a movie that hard to follow. And it's not tangled, but it's just if you're not on exactly the same page of the script with him, you're lost for the rest of the movie.
With this, like, I was kind of expecting that. I was just sort of, like, watching it really hard, like, trying to follow along. And then I got to the end, and it was sort of like, oh, I don't think I was supposed to be following along that specifically. I think it was more just a feeling that I was supposed to get in watching it.
Well, I think Primer, it says, I don't know if anyone knows, has he done any other movies besides these two?
No, he wasn't originally a director. He's an engineer. And I think that Primer was sort of a lark.
Yeah, but Primer was like 8 or 9 years ago or something.
Yeah, I think he went back to being an engineer, didn't he, Vince?
Vince.
I'm not sure. He wasn't there at the Q&A, I haven't read up on him a lot.
What did the chick on Shrooms have to say?
Just, you know, it's like, why do people go to work and just drive cars on streets and put their hair with gel when we still haven't figured out, like, what soap is made out of?
No, we have figured out what soap is made out of.
Are you sure? I think that was a conflicting report.
And then, like, a big part of the movie was they have these, all the characters have these pigs that are kind of like their weird avatars.
I like this movie already.
Okay, so it's, all right, let me just try to describe this plot for you because it might be entertaining.
Don't spoil anything.
It's really hard to spoil because it's, like, impossible to even know what the fuck's going on. This chick, like, some guy is breeding these weird grub worms that I think they somehow make you connected or they erase your memory or something. I don't know. So he basically, like, roofies this chick's drink with one of these little grub worms. And she's, like, in this comatose state, and he's, like, stealing all her money. And then that dude leaves with all our cash, and some other dude comes over while she's still in this sort of, like, vegetative, like, coma, like, fugue state sort of on this grub. And he like, cuts the grub out of her, and he puts it into a pig. And then the whole time it's, like, a parallel cross-cutting between this chick and, like, this pig, which is kind of like her avatar. And so then I don't know where to go with it other than that. Like, she keeps getting these weird urges that might be coming from the pig. And
Brett only wants to know when and where is it screening, because he wants to see it right now.
Really badly.
It's definitely a Brett movie.
There's a hunger in my loins.
That movie might as well be called Brett's movie.
My scrote demands a viewing.
If at some point he orders some bones in the mail and makes a crown, then
you guys see, found the bones?
What's that? Oh yeah, I did see your picture. You found, when you moved, you found the bones. Yeah. Where were they?
Oh, they're around.
Did you ever get to making the crown?
No. We've been over this. You don't want a power drill through a femur because all of the marrow has rotted and turned to liquid, and the smell of the liquid rotting marrow will make you throw up.
What about glue? Glue.
I mean, it is the worst smell imaginable to a human being.
First of all, what about the glue? The gluing, super gluing of it.
No. Oh God, it's like you've never even put any thought into this.
I've never. Not.
You don't glue it, all right? You drill holes in each femur and then thread those femurs through a wire halo that you'll then wear on your head.
So you need to get fresh bones.
No. Well, maybe. Maybe if you got them fresh, drilled a hole, let the marrow drain, then you'd have nice hollow bones that wouldn't smell pretty much exactly like death itself.
Bro, I got a bone you can use, and it's already got a hole pre-drilled in it.
That's Vince Mancini, comedian, everybody.
Hey, hey-o.
He's going to be at the Chuckle Shack Monday through Thursday.
Rooster Chee Chuckle Farts in sunny Glendale. All
right. This is laid-back comedy you can come to expect from Vince living in Austin.
Yeah.
To trying or really being funny. We just go with the word.
Yeah. Oh, so one last thing on Upstream Color. It's basically like if Don DeLillo and Terrence Malick took mushrooms and scissor fucked for 2 hours.
That's cute. You're proud of that sentence.
Yeah, how long did it take you to come up with that
not
one?
Not really. Just now. I saw a conversation with Matthew McConaughey.
Oh.
Was that the movie? I thought you actually went to a conversation where he was just up on stage.
No, I did. It was a conversation where he was up on stage.
You seem very excited about it. How did it meet or exceed your expectations?
I mean, he disappointingly was a little more articulate than you would have expected for Matthew McConaughey. Like, he's actually kind of intelligent, which is kind of obnoxious.
You're hoping he'd just be kind of a tard.
I wanted to see him get naked and play the bongos, basically.
Just do an 8-foot bong rip, take his shirt off.
He did open it by saying, all right, all right, all right.
That's worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of interesting. It was like the way he makes it sound is basically like him becoming a star was the easiest thing in the world.
That's my understanding is he was modeling or just like doing nothing really and got put into a couple different movie parts and
just standing on the corner grabbing his crotch.
Playing the bongos.
Yeah.
No, I thought he was living in Texas, not doing much. And was it Dazed and Confused? Was that his first movie?
Yeah. Right? So basically what happened was he was going to film school at UT. And he started out as a law student, and then he switched to film.
And Linklater is from Austin, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't know if he's from Austin. He's from Texas for sure.
But yeah, so McConaughey was going to UT, and he went to the Hyatt, for free beer because he had a buddy from film school who was a bartender there. And sitting down at the end of the bar was like some producer, and his friend's like, "Hey, man, you should go meet this producer." And the producer was like, "Oh, you have to be in my movie, Dazed and Confused." And so then he was in Dazed and Confused, and then he like moved out to Malibu and slept on the casting director from Dazed and Confused's couch, and he basically got cast in his first two. He got the part in his first two auditions.
Well, Time to Kill was one of those, right? Wasn't he?
No, that was the one that made him like a big star. But before that, he was in Angels in the Outfield.
Okay.
And he's like, and he showed up to the audition and he like put a baseball cap on and he walked in and the guy looked at him and he's like, have you played baseball? And he's like, oh yeah, I played baseball for 12 years. And he's like, all right, you're hired.
Had he played baseball for 12 years?
Yeah, apparently.
Nice.
Sometimes, that was like his second audition ever.
Sometimes your name's just Matthew McConaughey and, you know, you're just born to act, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he did throw out a couple of like southernish one-liners where you're like, I don't quite know what that means, but it sounds cool.
As sort of the end of someone asked him a question, maybe the end of it, he'd say, that's just how you flip a frog down in the pond.
Yeah,
hey, if it's got
much.
A pig's head, you don't ask no questions, right?
Yeah, I think the actual quote, which I wrote down, was he's talking about his character in this movie, Mud, that was playing that I didn't get to see. He's like, you know, he's just a guy that stepped in shit so often he thinks it's good luck.
All right, that's where we were headed.
He's like, okay, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a question. Have you guys seen the TV show Nathan for You?
Negative.
No one? Oh. I don't see that many things that I recommend highly. This is one of the funniest new shows I've seen. It's this guy, this Canadian comedian. He worked on H. John Benjamin's show. I couldn't find that clip that I really liked, but... It's a show on Comedy Central. I'd really recommend it. Let's see if this clip does it any justice.
But that popularity doesn't mean much if your yogurt shop is empty. Nick Batista is the manager of Yogurt Haven in Eagle Rock, California. And lately, he's been in desperate need of customers.
It would be a plus if we got more traffic going.
So I paid him a visit with some advice on how to help his business.
Firstly, did you see someone in here with a beard yesterday?
This doesn't do quite as well on audio.
I was actually not working yesterday. It was my day off.
That was me.
Okay.
Yeah, came to scope it out.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Cool.
My mission was to fill Yogurt Haven with customers. My plan? A crazy new flavor that will get people talking. That flavor is poo.
Is that serious?
Yeah. The media responds to controversy. We know that. I feel like a poo yogurt flavor might be a news story. If people read the paper, could bring like hundreds of thousands of people in here maybe, or...
Just to try that flavor?
Yes.
Oh, poo. Okay.
Yes.
I really needed to sell my idea to Nick. So the first step was to actually create the new flavor. I found a company online that said they could custom make any flavor.
We're not allowed to say no. We'll always try to formulate anything.
Vince.
Is someone breathing really loud?
Vince. Vince, turn down your wind.
Vince, I think...
I thought that was the sound clip. It's not mine.
Yeah, Vince got bored and jumped off a building.
It's not my wind.
Yeah.
No. All right, hold on. Let's get rid of the wind. All right, we got Brett out of the wind tunnel. Brett, how was the wind tunnel?
It's windy in the wind tunnel.
It's windy. All right, let's hear. You guys like poo yogurt so far?
Yeah.
All right.
Poo me up.
California to pick it up.
This is what you requested. We call it artificial feces flavor emulsion.
Is there a real...
There's no actual...
It's completely edible.
It you could eat this.
Right.
But if you wanted to dilute it
into yogurt?
You could make yogurt.
I didn't want to be the first to try it, but I needed to know if the taste was accurate, so I conducted a taste test with some strangers.
So I'd like everyone to try the frozen yogurt in front of you.
Yuck.
What does it taste like?
It's not good.
Peppermint.
Peppermint?
Kind of like licorice.
Oh, there's an idea. Yeah. Closer.
Mm-hmm. It's got some other familiar... flavors in there, but I can't.
What does this taste like to you?
Poo. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, it does, actually, what I would think of.
What were you basing that on?
Well, clearly the luck helps.
Right.
The color.
Because I was just, it was amazing how quick you got it. So I was like, when I was like, oh, maybe she's has yeah, no. tried it, or because no, it's not. Based on real poo.
Never tried it.
I mean, it's okay. You can say if you
I have it.
It's not. I mean, no, genuinely, I it would help to know if you actually have, and it
no.
does.
No, I have not.
Even by accident or
not
something.
Not by accident.
It's okay.
No,
it's totally fine.
I have never.
People do weird things
all
the time.
I promise you.
I was happy with the results, and with the flavor in good shape, it was time to revisit Nick at Yogurt Haven.
I'm just gonna throw this.
Yeah. So, what do you want to do?
We can give it a shot, but I mean, it's not something I'd have out here for more than a day.
We settled on 2.5 months to start, and with Nick's permission, we installed the new flavor. Now, I wanted to get an article.
You can't see it, but he put a big sign that instead of like strawberry or vanilla, it just says poo for the flavor.
I'd probably at least try it.
See, that's the thing.
Piqued my interest.
People come in and they try it, and that's it. It actually works. It's a good marketing campaign. I think there's like another minute.
In the paper, and that meant hiring a publicist. And I got a meeting with one of LA's best, Tyler Burnett.
I think if you really are considering implementing a shit-flavored ice cream, you should reconsider the entire campaign.
So, you disagree?
Yeah, I think it's a poor idea.
If you heard that a frozen yogurt shop in your neighborhood had a poo flavor, you're saying you wouldn't go to check it out?
No. There are better ways to get attention. I can come up with 5 off the top of my head.
Okay, I'd like to hear one.
A frozen yogurt eating contest. Invite kids from all around the block to come and have a frozen yogurt eating contest.
Okay, I would not go to that. Next one.
You know what you could do? You could fill a bucket full of shit frozen yogurt and put it on your head and then stand outside of the store with a sign that says, I don't know how to market a business, and see if people come.
Ooh, saucy.
People could come with little spoons and they could...
When I first came today, I had to go to the bathroom and you lent me your keys.
I did.
And I saw that you drive a Porsche.
I do.
All right. But anyway, Brett, are you... It's windy again, Brett. There we go. Anyway, I would recommend that show. It's on, I think, Thursday's Comedy Central. But see, like Brennan said...
Can we get them to pay us for the segment?
I got the money. You gotta come get it for me.
I was gonna say, guys, I don't know about you, but I don't do this kind of thing for free.
No, you go hang out with Matthew McConaughey.
That's right. He pays Self-buy. Me for that.
Yeah, like Brendan said, he's really funny because the Brett, the marketing campaigns that he does actually usually work, even though they're totally ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, I never eat frozen yogurt, but if I heard there was a place with poo yogurt, I'd probably go there.
I'd ask for a taster. I wouldn't give
me a liter of it, right. But I'd like, I might try some poo yogurt.
Just to see what it's like.
Yeah. I thought it was very clever. Vince?
Yeah, no, that kind of sounds like what I've, you know, I want to put together some marketing plans, like fake marketing plans, and just see if people take it seriously, and that sounds very similar to what I would like to do.
Poo yogurt might be high on your list.
Yeah, just bad social media. I mean, that one doesn't have as much jargon as I was envisioning, but I like it. It's got its own thing.
Yeah, it was straight into the point. Just poo yogurt.
Yeah.
There's a couple other ones. He made a viral video that exploded because it went on to Gawker. Well, Brett, at some point you're probably going to have to move out of a wind tunnel, but it's cheaper on rent?
I fucking told you I can't afford to live in the city anymore, so now I have subjected my body to experiments, and all those experiments are wind experiments, which I guess is important for science.
He's a wind scientist.
So, Brett, how's New York going, man? What goes on out there?
It snowed.
Okay.
Never seen that before.
You've never seen snow?
Not in a city.
Okay. So you seem pretty excited about it. How was it?
It's cold.
The snow was cold.
Yeah, and like wet.
It sort of melts when you touch it, I hear.
Yeah, it's like ice. until it's water.
Mm.
Ride the subway. That's fun. Subways are fun. I really don't know anything about this city at this point at all. Really.
So do you do anything? Do you just stay home and play Xbox?
I went to the IKEA in New Jersey.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That actually
doesn't sound that much fun.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Ooh. It's pretty bad. My girlfriend, who's normally very tolerant, leans over and goes, "I'm surprised there aren't more stabbings here." Because
she's your fiance now. You can't call her your girlfriend anymore.
That's fine. No one.
You have to own it.
No one really.
I'm so in love. I have to use French words now.
Have you ever been inside in IKEA?
We all have. It's a birthright.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's almost the lion killing of our generation.
My advice to anyone who goes to IKEA. There's that whole big showroom that's just a big stupid maze, and you go into the warehouse at the end, and all the stuff is there anyway. There's no reason to go in the showroom at all. Just go straight to the warehouse because you'll see all the shit, except it's just stacked up in aisles instead of, you know, designed into like a continuous living room.
But how do you know? That is a pro tip to live by, is you enter in the exit. Go directly to the computer, look up the things you need, and then get the fuck out of there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And don't eat them meatballs. They're full of horse meat.
And poop.
And yeah, the chocolate cake has doo-doo in it. It's real. Really? Yeah, it's real.
So it's not even just poop flavored. It's not poop flavored. It's poop. Poop.
Yeah. It's German chocolate.
Yeah. Wait, so really? They had fecal matter in the yogurt?
Ben, it's time to live in the real world. Everything's got fecal matter in it.
Well, but enough to make you sick.
I don't know if anyone got sick. I think they're just like, wow, while we were testing for horse meat, we found all this poop.
At least,
also horse meat.
Also poop yogurt. And not just poop flavored. Looks like vanilla. Poop in it.
It's poop in everything, man. You just got to accept that you're going to eat about half your body weight in poop a year.
Just... You know, a solid 100, 200 pounds of poop every year.
Yeah. Well, you're a heavy man.
You've never met me.
I wanted to tell you guys about my other experience here, if that's all right.
Gay?
Yeah, my gay experience. very eye-opening. Fabulous.
Do tell.
You just get a flood of emails this week of, you know, like at least 200 a day, but just about South By, and, you know, there's no way I could cover even a quarter of all the stuff going on here. And I got this one email, and there's way more movies than I have ever heard of or that I could, you know, read about. So I get this one, and it's a movie I haven't heard of, but most of the movies are movies I haven't heard of. And it's like an invite to a gun range to go shooting at the gun range, as the promotion for this movie. Like, they're going to take some people out to the gun range, and then we go shoot guns, and then we go to the premiere of this movie, right? And so I go, and it's like the director is like sort of leading this whole outing to the gun range, and he's a super nice dude. He's like a film professor at University of Texas, and so, you know, we're all having a good old time shooting guns and hanging out with the other writers, and so then we finish, and then we go watch the movie, and it's horrible, like just the worst movie ever.
Did you take one of the guns and shoot him?
What's that?
Did you take one of the guns and shoot him?
No, I didn't get to take one home from the gun range. They frown upon that.
You should have, if the movie was that bad.
I know. No, it was one of those movies where, like, there was just nothing going on. It's like characters talking about what happened in the movie 5 minutes prior. Just sort of small talking.
Wait, you say that like that's a thing that happens regularly in movies. That sounds worse than just describing what's going on in the plot. Why would you just talk about the plot that just occurred? well, the movie started. Yeah, and then we talked about the movie starting. It's like a mirror-on-mirror situation.
Well, the guy, the director, who, again, was really nice, was telling us how, you know, we had like a 40-page script. And
is that enough pages?
Well, and then he's just like, and then we had, like, I told the actors what I wanted in the scenes, and then I just had them improvise all the dialogue. And you're like, oh, that's cool. But then you watch the movie and you realize that because it's not well written enough that any of the characters have any desire at all. Like, you have no idea what any of the desires of the characters are. So it's just ad-libbing these, like, meandering nothings of characters. And so it's just bad small. It was like bad small talk for like 2 hours. Like, it's about this girl who lives in New York and gets like beat up on the street, and then she moves out to Austin, and you know buys a gun. Things are
way more chill out there.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's the entire message of the movie. It's like, oh man, being a Brooklyn hipster is so lame. You should come out to Austin and be like a super laid back hipster.
You've never had so much fun at food trucks and live bars, bands of bars.
Yeah, so that's the narrative hook of this movie. So she gets to Austin and she's got this black guy, and she's living in this guy's. She's sleeping on this guy's couch, and she meets this girl who runs like a landscaping business, and the landscaper chick asks the main chick to work for her, and at some point she's just like, "So, like, how'd you get that black guy?" And the other chick's like, you know, I just actually I got attacked. These guys just beat me up on the street, and the other chick goes, "Oh, that sucks."
That's the movie.
And then everything was like that. It'd be like one character describing to another that wasn't in the previous scene what just happened.
Oh, that's too bad. Do you want to go get some food truck?
So basically the plot is this chick moves to Austin, hooks up with this landscaper chick, and buys a gun. And, you know, and it's supposedly, like, about gun culture. That's what the thing in the program guide said. And even though it takes 40 minutes for anyone to pick up a gun at all. And she's staying on her friend's couch in Austin. That's the thing. Like, she's sleeping on this guy's couch who likes her. And he keeps coming home, and she'll have locked the door, you know, because she's traumatized. So she locks the deadbolt when she gets home. And the dude whose house it is keeps having to climb through the window. So, Brendan, you're really good at predicting scenes in shitty movies. What do you think happens?
Wait, so set the stage for me again.
All right, so this chick gets attacked in New York. She moves out to Austin. Mm-hmm. She's with living the, on this
with,
guy's couch.
With a black eye.
She starts. She has with a black eye. Mm-hmm. She's traumatized. She gets heavily into guns. She's like, she's all into guns. Mm-hmm. And she's staying on this guy's couch, and this guy, she keeps locking the deadbolt, so the guy will get home late and have to sort of come in through the window.
Oh, so she shoots him?
Yeah.
Oh.
and that's the entire movie. But it's just funny that this was like the big climax of this movie, because like, say you move to a new town and you're sleeping on a friend's couch, and every night you lock the deadbolt and he has to climb through the window. How much of a fucking idiot would you have to be to just shoot the first dude who comes through the window one night?
Man, if you've been through what she's been through.
Wait, so, all right, did you just describe every film school film ever?
Like, yes.
So the base tenets of making a film in film school are, one, it has to involve a gun.
Yeah, it's a quite almost literal universal usage of Chekhov's gun.
Yeah, because, oh my God, it's powerful, and suddenly I have this camera. And, oh, we can do anything we want. Let's put a fucking gun in it. And two, it's got like some dumb twist ending, because that's what gets the applause. Yay.
Yeah, it's just one of those movies where like that was, you know, that was the basic germ of the idea that I'm sure that made him want to make the movie. Like, oh, she moves out to Texas. She gets into guns, but then she shoots this dude that she likes, you know, But then the way it's staged, it has nothing to do with any of the characters. Like it doesn't make any sense in the context of when there's actual characters there.
So then does she move back to Brooklyn and get her ass kicked again?
Yeah, I wish. No, the last scene in the movie is like a close-up on the muzzle of the gun as she shoots.
Oh, that's literally the end?
Yeah, that's the end.
Oh, it'd be better if she went back to Brooklyn and went on like a murderous rampage for the people that beat on the people that beat her up.
Yeah.
So Death Wish.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
pretty much movie. Anything would have been better.
Well, Death Wish definitely would have. Death Wish is great.
Yeah, it's a cool movie.
Charlie Bronson.
Charlie Bronson.
How many of those did they make? 14?
Yeah, there was a lot.
73
Death Wishes.
It's like it's really old at the end.
It's like just
really old.
Wheeling around in a wheelchair.
At the end, he's the one with the death wish. Just kill me.
So, I don't know, maybe just being a film professor means you've watched so many student films that eventually you just make a really bad one.
But I didn't get it. So the director was a professor as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the director was a film school, was a professor at the UT film school.
Do you have to give up your teacher card after you make a movie like that? Where it's like, you don't actually know anything.
Did he take you to the gun range beforehand to prove a point?
Well, the official line was, I just wanted to put you, you know, in the mindset of this character.
Wait, so what'd you shoot?
I shot a 9mm, which was not that interesting, but, you know.
How many people did you kill?
I was hoping that, you know, I'd get to shoot, like, an assault rifle or something fun.
Did anyone, was it all handguns for everybody?
Yeah, it was all handguns. Actually, when I shot, like, they didn't even let me, they didn't even give me a new target. I was just shooting like an old target.
I was like,
this is dumb. I'm gonna have to aim at the head just so I can see what holes are mine.
Did you get to load it yourself?
Yeah, I did get to load it myself.
That's the best part.
You would think so.
Right. I'm a process-oriented individual.
So I have a, is it this professor, was it his first movie, or is it he made other crappy ones?
He had made a couple animated movies. I don't know if his animated ones are much better somehow.
It's basically the same thing.
Because that doesn't take any more work.
It's basically the same thing, except at the end, a little thing comes out of the end of the gun and says bang.
Yeah.
I just like the idea. Was he an older gentleman?
No, he was like a young, you know, he's like 14. Probably around our age, maybe a little older. Just sort of a youngish, youngish bohemian type guy.
Mm. Just trying to make his way in the film world.
Yeah. Just a good. It kind of gave me a negative view of Austinites, where it's like, oh man, there's all these like. Because at the premiere, I'm sitting behind like the cast and all their like really nice parents and everybody's, you know, it's like this friends and family get together for them, and then you watch the movie and you're like, oh, they put all that work into this.
Their parents are going to be so disappointed.
Yeah, well, they're still all going to say good job.
These sweet, laid-back, good-natured rubes.
Yeah, I'm sure they all said, wonderful job, nice work.
It's not the actor's fault that, you know, if the movie, there was a couple people that did all right jobs, but it's just, there was nothing there. It was like a 5-minute movie stretched to 90.
So I saw you were hanging out with the porn star dude who I was not familiar with.
Buck Angel?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I did a short little interview with like 15-minute interview that we can play next time when I'm back in town. But yeah, Buck Angel is like the coolest dude ever.
Tell the world about him.
Well, he stars in this movie called Mr. Angel, which is basically just a documentary about his life. And, you know, there's an obvious hook, which is that he's this guy with a vagina and he's, you know, he looks like a manly dude and but he still has a vagina. And like, you know, he's filmed a sex scene with like another trans porn star where it was, that had like breasts and was a female, but still had a penis. And so they basically were having straight gay sex.
Wow.
And,
that is.
Yeah.
Wait, so was he born without a penis?
No, he was born a woman.
Ah, I see.
And he's taking, it takes hormones and, you know. It's,
he never got the penis added on.
No, because that's not really, like, you can get like just a weird skin penis that doesn't really do anything. But yep. Like, what's the point?
I understand, but I would think that a lot of people that do it would want the full transformation just for their own psychological reasons.
Yeah, I mean, that was more Buck's thing. Was more like, I mean, why would I? Like, I don't judge anyone for wanting that, but I wouldn't want like a non-functioning sex organ. So, and then, I don't know, just the movie is just sort of about his childhood and his life. And he's like a really, he's just like a really interesting, articulate, pretty cool dude who actually is a Film Junk reader and fan. So that was cool. I don't know. He's just like a, just a good guy.
Nice.
And yeah, the movie was, interesting. It was about sort of his dad trying to, his dad was is like a good guy that's just sort of trying to understand his who's his son who's a, who's a transgender and also a porn star, and
the transgender part might be difficult unto itself, but then adding especially when you're who was a daughter now a dude still has a vagina having sex with formerly a dude now a woman but still has the penis. With breasts.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and that's what his family was talking about. Like, oh, it was, I think it was easier for us to accept the transgender than it was the porn. And then, and it's just, it was quite the tearjerker.
Full feature length, or was this a shorter one?
Yeah, feature doc. I would hope that like HBO or someone picks it up. It seems like the kind of, it'd be a good, really good HBO doc, it seems like.
Is that where the, some of those movies there, are they trying to get distribution?
Yeah, most of them. You know, some that already have distribution deals, like Spring Breakers and that Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie that I haven't seen yet. Some of them already have distribution, but a lot of them are looking for a distributor, and a lot of them won't find it.
What about your buddy the professor? He's it sounds destined.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's not going to find a distributor.
Not with that attitude, man. Come on. So
yeah,
my understanding is there's a lot of music out there. Have you seen any sort of bands? Is that even on the list of things to do?
Yeah, well, why are you still out there? Film ended last week, didn't it?
No, well, the film starts the first weekend on Friday, and it goes. There's still screenings all through this week, but starting like today, it's basically the music thing is starting. Like tonight, I'm gonna go out to that guy Chad Holt. From Total Badass is apparently having some crazy party with a bunch of bands at some bar. So I'm going to check that out.
The lawyer from Total Badass?
No, not the lawyer. The guy who took a year off to snort cocaine and raise guinea pigs.
The actual Total Badass.
Oh, right.
The guinea pig guy.
Yeah.
Guinea pig, was that right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a special kind of guinea pig with the long hair. I forget what the breed was.
Not a chinchilla, though.
No, they were guinea pigs.
They're just chilled out Austin guinea pigs with long hair.
With sort emo of hair.
the state animal of Austin is the chinchilla.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
I never saw the whole thing.
I'm hoping to see him and Bob Ray and Raposa, but I'll definitely see Bob Ray and Chad. Hopefully at one of their crazy parties.
Bob Ray's the guy that we talked to, correct?
Right, yeah, the director.
The director, and then Adam Raposa's the lawyer.
Exactly.
I thought Adam Raposa and Chad were on the outs.
Or was no, Bob Adam and Bob are sort of on the outs. They're not really on the outs. They're sort of like frenemies, I think. Mm-hmm. They still hang out. They're still part of the same circle, but Adam Raposa basically signed a deal with like William Morris and like some other Hollywood types after Bob Ray had sort of made him famous with that I Am a Lawyer commercial after they already had like a plan to shoot something together.
Well, he's got to be happy that the Big Gulp Law was struck down.
Yeah. Oh, but Chad and like Chad is actually Adam Raposa's legal assistant.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. It's all very tangled.
Yeah.
Well, and you can also, I mean, words to live by. You can never have enough frenemies.
Right. Exactly.
So how late long are you going to be out there? All week?
I'm going to be out there until Monday. Yeah. I saw some comedy, too. There's comedy out here.
Gross.
Did you perform any comedy on people?
I did not. But you know how I have that thing where I do shows with like really big people and I don't meet with them or I don't meet them or network at all?
Is that a thing?
I didn't know that was
a thing. You know how I did a show with like Ray Bamford and Greg Fitzsimmons and Paul Scheer, and I didn't actually meet any of them, and We didn't talk at all.
Oh, no. You didn't tell me you didn't talk at all.
What, did, no, did, we didn't talk at all. They, I mean, not that.
Did you just hide the whole time?
Did you get big time? Or did you freak out like a little weenie?
No, I didn't get big time. It's just sort of a weird thing. Like, you so know, when you you're
freaked out like a little weenie.
No, when you're those guys, you kind of just want to go to the improv and do your set and leave. And when you're waiting to go up, you're sort of thinking about your own set. You're not like, you know, you're not trying to meet people. You're all up in your head trying to think about what you're going to do in your set. So you're not really mingling. And so you're not really going to talk to them before their set. And then if they leave right after, then you don't really get to see them.
They didn't stay to watch you do the funnies?
No. But my point in saying that was I did do a show with this guy, Gerard Carmichael, like 4 or 5 months ago.
The one at the Purple Onion.
At the Purple Onion.
That guy's funny.
Yeah, and he is – yeah, he's really funny. He's opening for Tosh on his next tour. He was hosting like the awards out here, and I think he has a Comedy Central deal. And I did see him at this comedy event. And I said hello, and he actually remembered me and was super cool. So that was sort of that sort of made me feel better for never actually talking to the people that I've done shows with.
Yay.
He remembered my name, mm-hmm. everybody.
Yeah, it was nice.
He remembered what my
face... It's cool when people are nice.
He remembered what my face looked like.
Hey, my name's Vince. I was wondering if you remembered me from that show we did together. I was wondering if you'd sign my Trapper Keeper.
Man, Trapper Keepers were awesome.
Whose voice was that? I don't like that person.
Yeah, they were.
You don't like any of my voices.
That was you?
Mine had like a kick-ass bear that was like slashing a baseball on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that.
I remember
like
that.
A lot,
there
a
was
lot
a
of...
series. There was like a tiger tearing through a football.
Yeah, yeah.
And like
yeah.
a cobra snake eating a golf ball.
Yeah, something
or there'd be something where there's like a sort of generic quarterback throwing a football with flames. You know, stuff like that.
I don't remember that.
I'm unfamiliar with that series of Trapper Keeper.
I think that was series 8. Yeah. Yeah, Trapper Keeper, man. The kids these days probably don't even know what paper is.
Too busy playing video games.
Is everyone just fucking?
Too busy getting
robo
fucked.
Well, I would think there's probably not elementary school, but there's probably going to be a lot more tablets, a lot more cheap little Chromebooks and stuff.
Yeah,
probably a lot more hand jobs.
Hey, Billy, you want to play paper airplanes? No, I want to go get robo fucked.
Is that what you guys played? Paper airplanes.
I had a book about paper airplanes.
Oh, yeah, making paper airplanes is fun. I don't know if you play them.
It's the white man's origami.
Paper airplanes were legit.
We only make fighter jets.
Yeah, cranes, fuck that.
I'll see those peaceful birds in hell.
Speaking of tablets, I saw this thing. I bought a digital camera this week. And I was kind of annoyed. Like, I feel like a digital camera is sort of obsolete now, or it's at least inconvenient. Like, there should be – a digital camera should be incorporated into, like, the internet so you can take pictures and share them without having to have the go-between of your computer, you know?
There are Wi-Fi cameras now.
Yeah, and there's also – I was at the Samsung tent getting free food and drink. And
I knew there were tents there.
How long were you there for? Was it three, four days?
As you do. yeah. And they have this thing now that's basically like a camera and a tablet mixed together.
Oh, good. That seems really, really convenient for both purposes.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know. It seemed pretty awesome.
So is that what you got?
No, I didn't get it because I had to take back my regular camera first. But yeah, it seemed like a good idea to me.
How is that a good idea?
A big old gigantic camera?
No, it just looks like a regular camera, but the touchscreen in back where you usually have your regular camera screen has like tablet functionality. Like,
but they're all like that now, Vince.
Not the ones I've seen.
Vince shops at oldcameras.com.
Still real to me, damn it.
You say that. Name what? None of you guys have cameras like that.
All of the DLSRs.
None of you guys have cameras like that.
You guys shut up.
No, not just touchscreen, but it has like full internet capability and all that stuff.
That is new.
I don't want to browse the web on my camera.
No, but then you can take pictures, and instead of uploading them to your computer and then uploading them to the web, you can just do it straight to whatever.
I don't really want that either.
All right.
I mean, if you're shooting raw, those files are fucking huge.
Not many people shoot raw, though, Brett. To be fair.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but you're getting it resized. I mean, if you're uploading it to Facebook or Twitter or whatever, it's going to resize for you anyway.
So the camera does the resizing? I hate this conversation.
Yeah, me
what
too.
Else you got?
What other tents did you go to, Vince?
I saw the pivot desks that I sent you pictures of.
But I didn't know what those meant. I didn't get it.
I didn't really get it either.
That was it? It was just a pivot desk?
Well, what I liked was when I opened the file, it was the pivot desk was the actual photo was rotated 90 degrees.
You had to pivot it.
Yeah.
You had to pivot it.
Because Vince's internet camera fucked it up.
Yeah.
It's like upload directly to Twitter at 90 degrees, please. Enhance.
No, I think that was your computer that was fucked up.
Oh, yeah, all of our computers.
You're probably holding your laptop sideways.
Like an idiot.
Yeah.
Shut up, you guys.
Trying to be a gangster.
I do like
doing the chest one in the head. Type.
I do like the trend of pivoting, though. It's great where it's like this. It's just such bullshit. Actually, have we talked about this before?
Yeah, but I still enjoy it.
I know we've raised $50 million in venture funding. What we found out is that this isn't going to work. So what we're pivoting towards doing is putting a bunch of ads on our site.
Wait, yeah. So did the desks turn around? Did they at least rotate?
I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff like that where someone takes a vague idea like pivoting, which doesn't really fucking mean anything. It's just a stupid buzzword, and then they turn it into like a stupid visual pun. And there's like a million things like that here, where it's just some guy, where it's like learn to speak geek, and he's got like a fake soapbox, and he's like a stupid outfit. I don't even know what that one was about, but yeah.
So he's literally standing on a soapbox.
Yes.
How delightful.
Yeah. Geeksoapbox.com.
That is thing.
I hate everything about this.
Learn to speak geek was his thing.
Well, but that's all right. So that's what the funny thing. The funny thing is like yesterday and today, where the tech people and the music people start to overlap, because you know, like the first part of the week is all tech people, and then the second part of the week is all music people, and it's just like night and day. You know, like it's all these nerds, and then the music people come in, and everybody else is like, wow. I really didn't dress cool enough for this. And they're all in there like super – everybody's got neck tats and knuckle tats and sleeveless shirts and combat boots on.
And unkempt long hair.
Yeah.
No, across the board, that's standard. Unkempt long hair all the way through the festival.
Well, there's purposely unkempt and then there's just unkempt.
Ah.
Yeah. So they're slightly different.
Yeah, that's the musician side. Unkempt. It's like, it's not even on purpose. I don't even fuck it. I forgot I had hair, man.
That's right.
Banging too many hot women and taking too many mushrooms.
I gotta go because I'm in this place that has a cat and my eyes are falling out of my face because I'm so allergic to him.
How did you get a hotel room with a cat?
I'm staying at my friend's apartment. He has a cat.
It was half off if I took him with a cat.
Is your friend Samsung the corporation? Because you need to get the fuck out of that tent.
Yeah.
That's a stray cat, man.
it's already sprayed. It's its territory now.
Hey, man, when do you want me to feed your cat? What cat?
We just make cameras. We don't know anything about a cat.
This is your cat. We've been sleeping together.
All right, man. Well, have fun with the cat and Chad Holt and all that.
Sorry, my eyes are fucking like watering down my cheeks right now.
That's just happy tears, man. You're just thinking about all the brisket you're going to eat tomorrow.
Yeah, it's the release you're getting from being such a chill place.
All the toxins leaving your eye ducts. Yeah.
It's all the corporate toxins exiting your body.
Your mind pivoting on what a wasted life you've led.
It's just you get to chill out now. Just chill, man. Hey, let
it's all
those,
good.
Let those evil spirits run out.
All right. Well, next week we'll be back. I got that Buck Angel interview. I'll probably have some other cool audio stuff that we can add to the broadcast next week.
All right. So, well, we'll let you go.
Excited.
We'll finish up because you're leaving.
All right. You guys chill. You guys pivot. Right. Pivot away from me.
Later, Vince.
We're going to pivot away from Vince focused podcast and pivot towards a Brendan, Ben, and Brett.
Yeah, the three podcast. B's. I don't think it's ever just been the three B's.
Yeah.
That's what they call a blue ocean strategy because there aren't a lot of other 3B people out there. But, you know, if there were, it wouldn't really be a detriment to us.
Is a blue ocean strategy similar to a green field strategy in that, like, there's a lot of open space there? Or?
I'm sorry. I'm going to stop you right there. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I've never heard the blue ocean thing. I've heard green field in terms of sales when, you know, like a new vertical opens up or something like
Ooh,
that.
Oh, it's a green field.
This is a green field opportunity. You are the first people to be selling into the retarded dentist market.
No, so blue ocean is where you don't have to kill another ocean animal to survive. So that it's an infinite, it's a myth. It's like Valhalla. It's an infinite expanse of untapped potential, whereas a red ocean is a corral, and there's three other cows in it. You're going to have to eat all three of those other cows if you want to survive.
Why are there cows in the ocean?
Because of the pivot. They found out the ocean wasn't monetizing well enough, and its DTD was decreasing, EOM.
Y-O-Y?
I got a lot of corpo speak this week because the company I work for got acquired.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Were you an acquihire? Yeah, was an acquihire. Technically just took the talent.
Well, it's not official yet. It hasn't. You know, it needs to be stamped. I think Obama needs to come through.
He stamps everything. He is a bureaucrat. He's a
stamper.
And a liar.
He's a stamper. You know, he's a good old stamper.
All of his stamps just say liar, and he stamps them on everything.
Gotta stamp this paper now.
Stamp. So there's a lot of corporate speak going around. A lot of press releases. And I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see. I'll know a little bit more in about a month.
If you get fired, do you get a severance?
Well, I wouldn't hopefully get fired.
I'd fire you.
Well, I would fire myself. But I would hope so. That is yet to be determined.
What are you going to do with your severance, Ben?
Well, I'd rather keep a job for a little bit longer than take the
You buy a bunch of snacks?
I would buy so many snacks. I'm big on pub cheese from Trader Joe's.
God, dude, could you just like, all right. So in a perfect world, you have one pub cheese in each hand and then in a perfect world, they made pub cheese in like a man trough.
In a perfect world, your hands would be made of regenerating pretzel flats.
Holy God.
Yeah, like your fingers were pretzel flats and they'd regenerate. You dip in, bite, regeneration. Because the problem with the pretzels that come at Trader Joe's is half of them are broken.
Yeah, and you're going to break a third of the leftovers.
Yeah, so that would be...
Your toes can be the peanut butter filled pretzel nuggets and just pop them off.
I would never stop eating toes.
Oh, me neither. They're so good.
Toes are pretty tasty. Yeah, that would be kind of, you know, that's the type of genetic modification I'd like to see.
Yeah.
Look, Ben, that's why you're the brains of the operation.
I know.
Brendan just sits there and looks pretty, and I add the sassy Latina flavor.
Brendan's also the muscle. Like when we need stuff done or we need, you know, all the hangers-on kicked out of the frat quarters.
That's where
Brendan steps in.
Get those groupie bitches out of here.
That's what I always say, and Brendan's like, let them hang out. And I said, they're puking on my floor. He says, fine. And he picks them up two by two.
Ladies, you got to go.
Yep. And he picks them up and throws them right off the balcony.
Straight off the balcony.
A lot of them die.
Survival of the fittest, man. So, Brett, how is Cricket the Cat adjusting to Big Bad New York City?
So she's really, she was originally very frightened of the door.
As one is.
Well, I think there's a dog in the hall, and so she would hide behind the toilet. But now she's back into her usual swing of things, which is mostly just playing the game where she pretends to kill me and then gut me. Like it's an elaborate – it's very funny but also very, very painful.
Is this a game that you taught her?
No, that comes with the animal. They are born to do that. They – really enjoy murdering other animals.
But I would, if I were to envision an animal that Brett would pick, I would think you would ask the people.
How much is this animal going to kill?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But the SPCA does not take kindly to that question. That is a big red flag if you want to adopt a parakeet.
A
parakeet. If you ask them how many humans could this parakeet kill, they're not going to let you take that parakeet home.
Have you tried that?
Yeah, a couple times. Yeah. So it's usually the ankle, the Achilles, is the first thing to go, and then it's sort of on the back, lower leg. Like if it's a smaller animal, it'll gut them. But with a larger animal, it just sort of scratches a hole in their arm.
Those are the weak points.
Yeah. They know what they're doing. You've seen the studies, man. They will wipe out an entire neighborhood full of birds and frogs and salamanders, newts.
I do like when cats and dogs are sitting on a couch looking like a person just chilling. I always like those pictures. They're just watching TV. Like, stop bothering me and taking pictures. I'm just watching TV.
Maybe wearing a little hat.
They might be.
Maybe some glasses.
Just like, could you imagine if you're just watching TV and someone takes a picture? You're like, stop taking. I'm just watching TV. What's the big deal?
Susan Sarandon tweeted at me.
Really?
What?
And I felt really bad because, like, the last thing I tweeted was a picture of my cat on my keyboard. I was just like, now I'm embarrassed.
What? Back up. How did she find you, and what did she tweet you?
Well, so it wasn't – so, all right, I'm, like, three levels removed, but I was still on the chain. So I tweeted that celebrities are not your friend.
And she said, do you need a friend?
No, and then Vince retweeted it, and then the dude from Holy Taco was like, well, what about Susan Sarandon? And then so she tweeted back. She said, I didn't reject you. I just wasn't that into tacos that day.
That's pretty funny.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was weird. It's very surreal.
And then did you ever respond back?
Yeah, I said I'm trying to think of ways and failing to make this conversation more surreal.
And that was it? And?
Well, yeah, I assume because she saw that my previous tweet had been about a cat sleeping on a keyboard and thought that's the most trite thing I've ever seen, ever.
But you're assuming that you went through your tweets and looked at previous ones.
Yeah. My megalomania can easily make that logical leap. I think I've got that part covered. All right. Assuming that everyone's super interested in what I do day to day, moment to moment, I think I can handle that.
I do think there is a weird thing where Twitter has made it interesting where you can, even on these tiny, tiny, minute levels, interact with these people that celebrity, it's a whole different conversation. But the fact that there's this person that you know who they are, you see them in movies and
they have no clue who you are.
No, besides the cat sleeping on the keyboard thing, of course.
Right.
But
she's in the way. That was the joke, is that she's in the way.
The cat.
She's
the cat
doing
of the
great
keyboard.
Service to me.
Is the keyboard in the way of her being comfortable, or is she?
No, she loves the keyboard. The keyboard is the key to her comfortable success.
Mm. But anyway, that Susan Sarandon was like, "Oh, this will be funny," and it got back to Brett.
Yeah, it was weird.
Jay Glazer retweeted me once.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
How did that go?
It was best day of my life.
One time. I think the only time I've ever interacted is Cousin Sal replied to one of mine.
Nice.
But what he did is direct message me, which I was all excited. I was so excited. But then I tried to respond, and of course Twitter said, go fuck yourself. This guy doesn't follow you. Oh, and right. I was crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't want anyone to see that he replied to you.
Yeah, which is a bummer. Like, really, that's a real kick in the balls. Thanks, Cousin Sal, for ruining my dreams. Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the asymmetry. I think it's a good thing.
Well, we don't really have a choice.
I definitely feel bad for a lot of people. I mean, there's some people that no matter what they say, they've reset critical mass of followers where no matter what they say, there's going to be like, a million people who are like, yeah, congratulations on what you said. And then there's a bunch of people who are like, don't care. And then there's a bunch of people who are like, fuck you for thinking that. And so it just kind of devolves into this middle ground. And I mean, it's no one's fault. It's just a reflection of American society, I think. But I kind of feel bad. I think some people who are a little bit under the microscope, that's got to be tough. I mean, if someone just says something mildly offensive to me on Twitter, I'm like, I'm kind of like, what a jerk. And so Can you imagine, like, no matter what you tweet, someone's like, whatever, fag.
Every time. And not only one person, but potentially several hundred single time.
If you want to lose faith in humanity, read like every single one of Lindy West's responses. Everyone's like so angry at her.
But again, that's her job description is court outrage. Make it your lover.
I get that to a certain extent. But I will say that men's rights advocates, what a bunch of assholes.
Wait, there's men's rights
wait,
now?
Wait, yeah. Ben. That's a ben, thing? So
it's a whole subreddit.
One of the listeners forwarded me some bullshit about the We've Seen Your Boobs thing from the Oscars.
I don't know what that is.
So Seth MacFarlane did a We've Seen Your Boobs thing.
Oh, yes.
That was widely panned as being sexist, which I didn't watch the Oscars because that's hard
to
tolerate.
You know why it's sexist, Brett? For all us man rights advocates, we don't have such beautiful, perfect breasts, and it makes us feel less human.
They were interested in my opinion regarding this because I'm generally sort of a bitter curmudgeon.
Who's they?
This listener.
Oh yes,
that sent the email in with the link. but like one. That's such outrage bait. There's no win there for commenting on it. Like, it's better to just let that one fucking go.
Right.
Like, I don't have anything significant to add to that conversation. But two, I looked up what was going on and realized that even in my old curmudgeonliness, like, I am still so far on the side of the people who aren't batshit insane. Like, there's a whole section of the population that I do not engage with on a regular basis. That is just like monsters, like horrible.
I do think that this isn't a secret, but the internet has allowed people to act in ways that they wouldn't ever in public. I mean, it's not some secret, but if face to face, a lot of the people would not say the things that they type.
I don't even think this is that. There was some dude who was advocating like alpha male near Nazism just out in the open. It's just like, wow, I skew cranky at the liberal mindset because it's just so prevalent in the places I've lived. I'm just like, God, shut up, hippies.
Well, you're not evil. You just like to complain.
Yeah, but then there's this whole fucking subsection that I'm pretty sure is legitimately by the book evil.
Yeah, there's definitely...
Well, if you let a men's right advocate bend your ear, they'll tell you that like men have a higher suicide rate and women don't have to go into combat in like any military.
That's awesome. And that's arguments.
Yeah. Just shit like that. It's like,
it's just
stupidest arguments.
Which
also, you know, I never would have, I wouldn't self-identify as like a feminist. But I'm pretty fucking far from whatever the men's rights guys are saying. Like,
well, yeah,
it's just stupid.
I didn't realize how far away from Crazy Town I was. Like, I generally consider myself kind of not fully sane. I mean, I am the pinnacle of sanity compared to half of the shit you read in regards to any particular outrage issue at a given time.
Well, based on our definition of crazy right now, you respond to logic and reason. So...
Exactly. That's my point.
By that definition,
I'm like,
you're not
crazy.
I'm
kind of a weirdo. I have odd outlooks on things. I don't entirely subscribe to the status quo. And then I read like what's actually out there, and I'm like the most plain vanilla opinionated dude on the planet.
Yeah, then you come across some site for adults that like to wear diapers and you're like, "Oh.
Well, I guess I'm more normal than I thought."
Yeah. Well, I mean, men's rights stuff in today's world is like straight people rights against gay people, or like white people rights, or first world rights, where it's like third world's getting too much of our money. We need first world rights.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm sure you could find that group within three keyword searches. Oh, of Google. Like Google will predict that after two letters.
Well, there's been an ongoing joke on Twitter. You know, why isn't there a a white history, you know, whatever, because of all the people who are like, why isn't there a white history month in February, which is so funny. And then, God. Like, the fact that someone can be like, why isn't there a white history month? We say that without any irony. You can't argue with that person.
Do you get scared by the fact that someone can say that without any self-awareness? Like, that context exists where someone can be brought up and think that that is a perfectly reasonable thing to say?
It doesn't scare me. It
scares me.
Well, it's just, it's sad to me that it still exists so much across the world. I mean, America's as guilty as many places, but it's just, it's too bad that people still hold on to these things that don't make sense anymore. And not that they ever did, but people just have a lot of hate. I don't quite get it.
Yeah. And that's a big thing too, is what's your axe to grind here? How is this person affecting you that much?
That's with a lot of people get angry about things where it's like,
why do you even care?
Why are you so angry, man?
Yeah.
You need to move to Austin or something.
Right. Chill out your whole lifestyle.
Yeah.
Chinchilla.
Chinchilla
all day long.
You need to eat some more barbecue from some food trucks, man. You need to change your whole attitude. It doesn't necessarily scare me in the sense that maybe I'm just a little living in California my whole life. You know, if I was a Jew growing up in Mississippi, I probably would be pretty scared of that shit, honestly. But, you know, growing up out here, it's not quite the same as, you know, even reading about, I think, Mississippi or one of the states. It's not only the most religious, but they banned contraception and teaching it. And now they have the most teen pregnancies and the most cases of AIDS. So awesome. You know, that's like good on you guys. Nice work. So it doesn't scare me, and then it doesn't affect me day to day. Just like I don't feel like I need to go out and buy a gun tomorrow because I don't think I'm going to get shot on the street. But I'm sure there's parts of the country where I'd probably feel differently.
Right. Also, the men's rights advocates are the same people that say it's women's fault they get raped. And if they're not carrying a gun, then it's even more so their fault.
Like they should have pepper spray, or it's their own fault.
It's your fault for not carrying a gun.
It's like, really?
Yeah.
Not the dude's fault for raping you, huh?
No.
No. If you had a gun, he wouldn't have raped you.
Right. And that is an actual argument that is taking place on the internet now.
Yeah, it's sad that that people can use that as an argument for anything.
Right.
Brent?
I guess I just don't get where it comes from, the like having such a visceral reaction of like, it's your fault, you know? So weird.
Especially when it wasn't like that dude was doing the raping, which would be terrible, but it wasn't like, hey, it's your fault, I'm some psychopath that did this.
And they're also talking about it in the abstract. Like, they're not even talking about, well, this case was different because of this. It's like, as a general rule, it's totally your fault.
In general, here's the thing. You should have multiple weapons on you, 3 guns and 2 cans of pepper spray. Otherwise, you're asking to get molested and raped.
It's like you don't even want to participate in the arms race that is walking down the street.
Right.
And that makes you un-American.
I honestly had not until tonight heard of men's rights. It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's all over the place, dude.
It doesn't surprise me, but it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So, I mean, are they – because anytime there's a rights, it should be a group that is being somewhat oppressed.
Yeah, an underprivileged group that isn't, you know, 30-something white male middle class.
Well, in general, dudes, because to say that we're the oppressed ones is definitely not true in any context that I can think of in the world.
Also, if you're a men's rights advocate, like, I'd love to know what your situation is where you feel so oppressed, because I don't know. I mean, maybe I don't feel that differently from you. I'm just more like, hey, man, this is pretty fucking good. This is a sweet deal that I got.
I'm not arguing that the power structures have played to my advantage, and I'm not entirely motivated to change the power structures. But that doesn't mean I'm gonna gussy it up like, oh my God, I've been so wronged.
But men's rights would imply,
I mean, my guess is they're all losers who are looking for something to justify it.
True.
It's almost universally people who have failed because of stupidity and are looking for some other place to put the blame.
Right.
Well, everyone always wants to blame. It's always someone else's fault. Just even the horrible rape example where it's not even her. She
Well, the exception there is when you're very successful, because Mitt Romney, you know, he it doesn't matter that he had a bunch of stock options that he sold while he was in college to make money. No.
Well, even the way that Bain, do you know how Bain made money?
Oh yeah, that whole shady thing, right? What was
so
it?
The way it works, this might bore everybody, but I found it really interesting because he stood on this platform of job creation and business creation. And what they would do is they'd find businesses that were ripe for acquisition, for purchase, and they would purchase them and they'd try to get them successful, IPO, something like that. If they couldn't, they would essentially liquidate them and bankrupt them and get whatever funds they could out of it. In the meantime, that liquidation period would take several years. They would, even though they owned the Bain company, owned that company they purchased, Company X. Company X would be paying Bain Capital millions of dollars a year in consultant fees. So no matter what happened to that company, even if that company went bankrupt and everyone lost their job from the company, Bain Capital would extract X amount of millions of dollars a year in consultant fees. So no matter what, they'd make money.
Right.
So
yeah.
I found that interesting that they were basically corporate raiders.
Yeah.
And then they had a couple successes, like Staples is the big one. And they pretend, we look at how great we are. In the meantime, they shut in the name of profitability, shut down a lot of American companies.
Right. But, everyone likes painting Romney as like, he made his own money. He's his own man. It's like, not really. His dad was also a gazillionaire.
Yeah, his dad was very successful, too. It's similar. We've talked about Trump.
Yep.
Where it's you have to do it on your own as well. He could have squandered it or just been silent or whatever. But
It's not, it's not one extreme is the point. You obviously have to take the initiative to do whatever, but having the head start is, I think if Mitt Romney were born a poor black child of sharecroppers in Mississippi, it would be a different story.
Or
just poor,
he could have been a poor white dude.
Or poor white dude.
Didn't even have to be black, Brendan. Why you gotta,
It's because I'm racist. That's why. I'm fucking racist. Just trying to disenfranchise all non-whites.
Yeah,
from this podcast that 14 people are listening to.
I need to start a white Jewish rights group.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
White rights, white male rights. The white man is being
it's terrible.
We got to fight in wars that we'd have to volunteer for. We get paid more.
Yeah.
Constantly. Every day I get paid more and I'm tired of it.
You get paid more, it's just a bummer. We don't have to bear children.
And it's like I had to go to the interview to get the job in the first place. And they're like, we'll offer you a regular salary. And I was like, regular?
How about a male salary?
Yeah, why don't you mail it to me and I stay home and don't do any work?
And I have to work? This is bullshit.
Are you familiar with male rights? Because I'm an advocate.
That's where you mail me the check and I stay home and watch TV.
Ooh, I like that. Male rights. It's fighting for the postal worker. No.
To not get bitten by a dog.
So my fiance has suggested that my segment be about reading comments from the internet.
Ooh, are we doing a segment?
No, I don't have a segment ready. Oh. I'm just prepping.
Oh.
But now after talking about this with you guys for maybe 7 minutes... I never want to go on the internet again.
Yeah, internet comment section is probably the worst of the internet.
It's like 8mm, where he goes into this world he never knew existed and comes out not the better for it.
And he
doesn't save anyone. Everyone's already dead.
No matter
he
what,
he makes some great faces when he first sees the.
He does make some great. I could send pictures of my faces that I make in horror as I read. The Yahoo answers.
And as you scroll down and you scroll down and you keep scrolling down and you're like, oh no, what world have I delved into?
It's got to be YouTube comments, right? I mean, that's got to be the.
I'm a huge fan of Yahoo Answers because half of the people that are members are trolls, and then the other half are just the dumbest people
on the planet. Stupid to realize being trolled every time they ask a Yahoo answer.
And you get it on both sides, and it's this beautiful ballet of the sadistic and the incompetent.
The trolls and the trollies.
Yeah. So sometimes they'll lay troll bait in the question, like by an idiot, and they'll ask something that's borderline not a question. They'll have punctuation in there that doesn't make any sense, which is no, usually how you know it's true, where it'll be like a comma, question mark, tilde, and that's how they end the sentence, and you don't know what the tilde is there for. And then the trolls come running, but then there's a second tier of trolls that is somehow trying to get more idiots involved.
The second layer.
Yeah. So you've got this whole food web of people feeding on stupidity. And so the idiots are like the plants in this scenario. And then there's the little plankton who are the regular trolls who just show up. And then there's, you've got these like alpha apex sardines.
Predators. Yeah, the whales.
Trolls. Like that. Yeah, they just feed on 1,000 plankton. And they roll by. And what they'll do is they'll sort of poop out really controversial things that'll get a whole chain going.
Yeah, I find that there's usually a lot of you're gay, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Those are real people, generally. That's not
Brett,
a troll.
Compile,
those are just idiots.
Brett's favorite Yahoo Answers. That's your next
Yeah, segment. That would be – I'd enjoy that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it might kill me. I might die.
No, you did. Okay.
It might suck the final little breath of life I have out of my body and then distribute it into the ash that is the new atmosphere.
Try, you know, give it a go. Strap on a – here's what you need to do. You need to strap on
– we're willing to risk it.
It's an experiment for humankind. So here's what you need to do. You need to strap on a good helmet, a really good helmet.
All right.
And you need to just, you know, find – I think you start off with a troll question.
You think I lay the trap?
Well, you know what? You should troll a question. What about that?
I mean, it's a skill that I'm not sure. I like to think that I would possess skills, but I've never really brought it out into the wild.
Okay, we're freestyling. What would be your troll question?
It would have to involve sex because that's a little bit taboo and a little misunderstood by the idiots.
Okay.
You want to play to their weaknesses.
Okay.
So you would definitely involve some sort of obscure sexual thing, because you want half the people to call you an idiot and half the people to earnestly describe a solution to your potentially not real situation.
So I had sex with a woman.
It probably shouldn't be a woman. It should probably be a turtle.
A turtle. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're on a whole
nother level. So like you can't tip it over. So turtle might be too far.
So I was thinking it's probably a generic one.
You've got a wheelbarrow full of hornets and you don't want to spill them. So you can't let them know that there's hornets in the wheelbarrow.
Mm. All right. Well, you know, I'm just saying it'd be interesting to find out, because this would be a much more fun experiment than you going and finding the Yahoo question and answer, which is terrible.
Just seeing how far I can free dive. How far my lungs will take me into the murky depths.
It's more find a good, and maybe you put a couple out there.
Yeah.
But put a couple questions and see what happens. See, is it troll? Relate, you know, is it troll responses, troll answers, or real answers, or idiot answers?
That's not a bad segment, because then you could put wagers on whether or not that's a real human being, or
troll,
whether or not it's sadistic or incompetent.
Mm. See, you know, and maybe you get some genuine responses, like, hey, I had sex with a girl in her butt, and I came 4 times. I think she's pregnant. Question mark?
No, it's question mark, comma, tilde.
Well, that's how you. That's the only way people respond.
Yeah. Otherwise, how would you know it's a question?
You need
at least 3 symbols you don't understand at the end. Otherwise, it might as well be in the Bible.
I'm just saying. Brett asks Google Answers might not be the worst thing to start.
We can give that a go. I can see what I turn up.
You know, and it might be nothing. It might be Hufflepuff.
Yeah, I might learn a new recipe for flan.
That's what most people.
worst case scenario, you guys get some flan in the mail.
If that's the worst case, I'll take it, because that's what a lot of Yahoo Answers are, is a recipe for flan.
Better take it. I worked hard on that flan.
Yeah, well, especially if the Yahoo Answers flan recipe.
Secret is paprika.
Really?
No.
Okay.
That would taste horrible.
I was going to say, I've had flan before. I don't remember any paprika.
Ding, ding, ding. That's sadistic.
Yeah.
Brendan gave a very, very serious look and said, really?
I was like, huh? That maybe, doesn't sound
maybe
right.
I am great at this.
Yeah.
See? Don't sell yourself short.
Oh, God, I'm a monster.
You could be a professional Yahoo questioner.
It's all I've ever wanted.
And maybe at some point Yahoo's like, you know what, man? You're a really good questioner.
You're hired.
Have you thought about coming on full time?
They give me a little desk.
You have to ask questions.
Yeah, and I'd never use my real name.
Oh, of course not. Doug and Chuck and Steve and...
Ampersand 00 bong load master.
Ooh. You can only use that once, though. You want to save that for a good question. All right.
All right. Should we put this one to bed?
Yeah, I think we should. Well, thanks, everyone. I'll let Brendan finish it out, but thanks, everyone, for listening. Don't forget, check out frogcast.com. I'd like to get your feedback on what you'd like to see there. We got some suggestions. I'm going to work to upgrade and improve the site. And let me know what you think.
All right. Well, we've got Vince back in studio next week. We'll still be blooping in Brett because he lives in New York now.
I do.
He's tired. It's late.
He's 3 hours ahead. And
I think it's next week over there.
It is. It's already next week. He's getting ready to go on.
Again. Spoiler alert. You guys all die.
Oh. Damn it.
Yeah, sorry. We couldn't afford your salaries. You got written out.
Did we at least answer any Yahoo questions?
No, because I quit. Not yet, but later.
The week after next?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So, frogcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening this week, everybody. And until next week, good night and good chins.